for argument this morning is in the matter of Halo Industries.
May it please the Court, my name is Steve Florsheim. I represent the HA 2003 Liquidating Trust, the successor to Halo. Halo hired CSFB to provide a fairness opinion and to evaluate the value of Starbelly in connection with a transaction taking place at the height of the Internet boom in the beginning of 2000. We are here today because Judge Gettleman ruled in CSFB's favor after a partial trial on the issue of whether CSFB had breached its contract and committed gross negligence. Judge Gettleman improperly determined the duties of CSFB under the contract and under the applicable professional standards. He found that CSFB was free to rely upon Starbelly's revenue projections as a basis for its valuation, even after CSFB learned from Halo's independent technology advisor that the projections were wholly speculative and Starbelly lacked the infrastructure or technical capacity to meet those projections for the year 2001. CSFB's valuation was based entirely upon Starbelly's revenue projections for 2001. Second issue where Judge...
Doesn't this strike you as very strange? Halo makes a representation to First Boston and says to First Boston, you're entitled to rely on our representations. And now Halo is suing First Boston, saying, only a fool would have relied on our representations. We were so stupid. Therefore, you should pay us money. I mean, that's the essence of this suit, and it strikes me, ought to strike you, as very strange.
Your Honor, that is not, in our view, the essence of the suit. Halo didn't provide CSFB merely with projections from Starbelly. Halo took CSFB's advice and hired an independent technology advisor, E&Y. It invited CSFB to come.
Yes, and E&Y told Halo, your projections are completely ridiculous.
It did.
And Halo did not change what it told First Boston.
That's...
And is now suing First Boston. This strikes me as, you know, Halo should perhaps be suing its own directors, but why should it be suing people who it promised could rely on its representations?
Halo did not promise that it could rely purely on Halo's representations. What instead it had CSFB promise to Halo was that it could rely upon the information received not only from Halo, but also from its advisors from Ernst & Young. And in CSFB's fairness opinion, it said, we've relied upon the information from Halo, that is to say the projections, but we've also relied upon the information we received from Halo's advisors as to the technology. CSFB's own witnesses said, once in a situation like this, where they learn that projections are going to be delayed, that you can't achieve what you said you were going to achieve in 2001, the proper thing to do in that situation is to adjust the projections, move them out, move them to the right out in time, in this case 6 months. Let's recall, Your Honor, that Halo, after hearing the E&Y report...
Did Halo offer a separate fee for making a new projection based on new data?
CSFB had an obligation to do that within the original fee.
Not what the contract says. The contract says the projection would be as of a particular date. Now, I assume if Halo wanted a projection as of a different date or a series of projections updated over time, it could have bought that. There would have been a price attached to it. But you seem to be saying, even though Halo paid the price for only one projection and not several, it should have gotten several.
CSFB...
Well, everybody would like something for nothing.
Your Honor, Halo didn't hire CSFB to make projections. Halo hired CSFB to do a valuation of Starbelly based on reasonable assumptions. It used the Starbelly projections. It's notable, Your Honor, that Halo provided CSFB with its own set of projections. It didn't just provide the projections from Starbelly. It provided its own set of projections as well that were more conservative, more limited. CSFB says it had an obligation to decide which information it was going to use for purposes of its valuation. It could use the Starbelly projections.
I don't think you're addressing my question, which is why, when the contract says we're going to make a projection, where we are hiring First Boston to make a projection as of a particular date, why they then have an obligation to make a series of projections as of different dates without being compensated for the extra work.
Your Honor, CSFB testified that its obligations continued all the way through the closing and that no additional fee would be required had HALO asked it to do additional projections, had it asked the CSFB, for example, to update the fairness opinion. In this case, Your Honor, CSFB understood that the projections that it based its valuation on were no good. As Your Honor said, these projections were out the window. They were unrealistic assumptions. More to the fact, Your Honor, CSFB's valuation was also premised on comparable companies. They did the valuation in January, but on April 14th, before the deal closed, the value of those comparable companies plummeted with the Internet. The NASDAQ lost 1,000 points in a single day. And Judge Gettleman asked the question, is it HALO's job to go to CSFB and ask for a new valuation, or is it CSFB's job? Your Honor, we believe that HALO's board absolutely should have gone in all prudence to CSFB and said, do more work. But that doesn't undercut the fact that CSFB had an independent obligation to go to HALO if it knew that HALO and its shareholders and its directors were relying upon a valuation that was based on outdated information. HALO had a proxy statement that it sent to shareholders. It included CSFB's valuation. It also included the statement, after the ENY report, that Starbelly's technology infrastructure was going to not be in place until June of 2000. That was provided to CSFB. June of 2000 is 6 months, Your Honor, 6 months after the date that the original Starbelly projections were premised on. Starbelly projections were based on the notion that it would have this technology in place in December of 1999. HALO told its shareholders that. HALO told CSFB that. CSFB did not update its valuation, did not withdraw its fairness opinion, even though that fairness opinion it knew could not reasonably be relied upon. Your Honor, we believe that Judge Gettleman's error here was that he incorrectly determined the obligations of CSFB. What Judge Gettleman focused on was language in the contract that said CSFB had no duty to verify or investigate the data it received from HALO or from Starbelly. That's not the issue of the case. This is not a case like many of the others that are out there, particularly in the 10b-5 context, where a client says, gee, you should have uncovered something. You should have lifted the rock and found out what was beneath it. CSFB had all the information that it needed to determine that these were not the projections that could reasonably be relied upon. Nobody thought these were reasonable projections. And the reason that CSFB relied upon these projections was that it believed, in the words of Mr. Edelstein, the lead banker for CSFB, that its role here was to act as an advocate for this deal. Well, nothing could be further from the truth in the context of a fairness opinion. CSFB was not an advocate. It was an independent advisor. Fairness opinions, to the extent they mean anything at all, are supposed to provide an independent validation of management views. An exuberant board can rely upon what an independent expert says in support of a deal, not worry that its own exuberance is coloring its vision. It turns everything on its head if CSFB, the supposedly independent expert, relies upon purely the statements of an exuberant board, even after it knows, even after it learns that what that board is telling it is not reasonable. Now, pointedly here, HALO's board did not tell CSFB that ENY's concerns were resolved. HALO's board didn't tell CSFB that the revenues would be there in 2001. What HALO's board said is, we remain confident of the deal despite all the risks that we've seen. Now you tell us, CSFB, is Starbelly worth the price based on all the ordinary ways that experts value companies? CSFB is the one that failed in its duties here. I was HALO's counsel suing John Kelly, the CEO. There is no question that HALO's board, and Mr. Kelly in particular, did not live up to the standards that one would hope for here. But that doesn't take away from the fact that neither did CSFB. If this was a damages phase of the case, it might well be a reasonable question to say, how much is CSFB responsible for? How much is HALO's board responsible for? But we didn't get there. Judge Gettleman, so disgusted with the behavior of HALO's board, the negligence, as he calls it, in not going forward, not coming out and asking CSFB to do more, never looked at what are CSFB's duties and did it live up to them. Even if HALO's board is negligent here, that's not a defense to a breach of contract claim, which this is. Your Honor, we believe that Judge Gettleman's ruling must be reversed here because he applied an incorrect interpretation of the contract and because he improperly assessed the professional duties of CSFB in doing its valuation, both at the time of the original valuation in January of 2000, when it relied upon the projections despite the E&Y report, and when it failed to withdraw the fairness opinion even after the technology market crashed. Your Honor, unless there are further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Certainly, Mr. Florsheim. Mr. Wicks.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. The appellants asked this Court to conclude that the District Court, sitting just downstairs in this building for over 8 days of trial, committed clear error when it held that the plaintiff had not met its burden of proof that CSFB's performance of its obligations under this contract were grossly negligent. And finally, as they come to this Court, the plaintiffs, the appellants, point to two respects in which they ask the Court to conclude that Judge Gettleman's finding was clearly erroneous. First, they say, it was gross negligence for CSFB to prepare its valuation work on the basis of projections which it knew to be impossible. That argument fails for two reasons. First, it asserts the proposition that CSFB knew something which was in fact the subject of intense debate and uncertainty among the interested parties. CSFB's knowledge about the state of Starbelly's technology development traces to a meeting on January the 3rd of 2000 held at the offices of HALO, in which a consultant from Ernst & Young presented to CSFB, to officers and directors of HALO, his preliminary conclusions based upon his due diligence, which had been going on for a little less than 2 weeks, those 2 weeks including both Christmas and New Year's. And what the consultant told the assembled parties at that meeting was three things. There's no mystery about what happened at that meeting. Virtually everybody except for the fellow from E&Y testified at trial. There was a young lawyer from Neil Gerber and Eisenberg named Klein who was at the meeting and in the manner of good young lawyers took notes. His notes were admitted into evidence. And we know in some detail what was said by E&Y at that meeting. They said, first, that the due diligence we have conducted so far since the 20th of December has not allowed us to satisfy ourselves that Starbelly is able to document the conclusions and the claims it makes about the development of its technology. Perhaps not surprising, given the length of time they've been engaged in the effort. Secondly, they said that what they had seen of Starbelly's technology was not as proprietary, that is to say, not as homegrown, home-developed special to Starbelly as Starbelly had claimed. Indeed, they said, Mr. Potowitz said, a substantial amount of what Starbelly is claiming to be its special technology, you could go down to Staples and buy off the shelf. And third, they said, given the second proposition...
Counsel, I'm puzzled by this line of argument. This sounds like an argument made to a district judge in a bench trial. You have the judge's favorable finding, and I didn't really understand your opponent to be arguing that the judge's findings were wrong on the facts so much as it was an argument that the district judge should simply have ignored the language of the contract. Now, one needs to be making an argument about the meaning and scope of the contract here, not about what the facts were about Starbelly's technology.
Your Honor, I agree with that proposition, except that I think properly understood the appellant's argument is not really that Judge Gettleman read the contract incorrectly. It is rather that certain things, including this alleged knowledge of CSFB, should have led to importing into the contract a different set of obligations from the ones that are there. After all, the language in the contract is not really ambiguous. It's not really unclear. It makes it perfectly apparent that when HALO says to CSFB, these are the numbers on which you can work, it's entitled to do that. And the argument that I understand the appellants to be making is not that the language of the contract isn't clear. It is that the obligations changed because of the fact that CSFB, according to the appellants, knew certain information that called into question the information that it had been given by HALO. There is, I think, no question about what the contract says and how it is to be read. But if I can move on from that, Your Honor, the second respect and separate respect in which HALO argues that Judge Gettleman erred in not finding CSFB to have been grossly negligent is CSFB's failure in the spring of 2002 to have withdrawn its fairness opinion. There is an obligation, according to the appellants, once circumstances change, for the issuer of a fairness opinion to withdraw it if it is no longer accurate. Now, the difficulty with that argument, of course, is that it assumes the crucial fact. It assumes that there had been such a change in circumstances of such a nature that the fairness opinion dated as of January 17, 2000, should itself be called into question. The plaintiff's expert made no attempt to suggest to the court below what standards should be applied by a bank in making that decision. The record on that question is that, indeed, there may be circumstances in which facts have changed in a way that calls into question a fairness opinion and requires it to be revisited. But the evidence on that subject comes entirely from the CSFB bankers. The example that Mr. Edelstein gave on the stand was if you were giving a fairness opinion in connection with a manufacturing company, and after the time of the fairness opinion, the factory burned down, so that the basic underlying proposition was no longer true, that you might have to revisit it. Here the proposition is that because the stock market values of internet companies were declining during the spring of 2000, that the value of Starbelly, which had been computed by reference to the value of those internet companies, must have dropped, and that therefore the opinion should have been withdrawn. But of course that requires the assumption that that market price drop in technology stocks was permanent. And what we know at the time, unchallenged in the record, is that it was CSFB's institutional view that this was a temporary correction in the market, that the fundamentals in the market were still strong, and that prices would come back. Now, in retrospect, we know they were wrong about that. But it was a view lots of people held at the time. I think probably only Professor Schiller is fully entitled to say, I told you so, about that circumstance. But the fact is, what Mr. Edelstein testifies is...
a confession of incompetence.
No, it's a confession of a lack of prescience, Your Honor.
No. The data showing that markets are efficient in the sense that one cannot outguess them is overwhelming. And if you had clients who think that they can outguess the market one way or the other, they're fools.
Your Honor, I fully accept and believe that theory. Here, the question is, what was the effect of the turbulence...
Like you're now arguing that your client was grossly negligent.
I'm not at all, Your Honor. I'm arguing on the contrary, that given the knowledge they had at the time, the risk of movement in the value of the companies between the contract and the closing was structural in the contract. The number of shares of HALO stock that were to be paid for all of Starbelly stock was fixed under the contract 10 days after the signing of the contract. By its nature, that means that the parties on each side accepted the risk that there would be movement in those values in the intervening period. Nonetheless, the exchange of the number of shares agreed to in the contract would be fixed. So it's not, we have no record here. There's a failure of proof in the court below as to anything that would suggest a standard by which CSFB should have been obligated to withdraw its opinion except for the evidence given by the CSFB bankers themselves. Your Honors, if I may just address two matters that counsel for appellants addressed. First, he said that Mr. Edelstein described himself as an advocate for the deal. In fact, what Mr. Edelstein was doing in that part of the discussion was describing the relationship between the deal team, of which he was the leader, and a group called the Investment Banking Committee, which at Credit Suisse was required to sign off and approve on all fairness opinions. And what the record shows here is that what Mr. Edelstein said was, institutionally we have a concern that bankers involved in a transaction become advocates for the deal, and so we create this independent check in the form of the Investment Banking Committee to review the transaction. And the evidence here is that that process worked exactly as it was intended to. Indeed, the Investment Banking Committee identified some concerns about the transaction, both with respect to the structure of the consideration and with respect to certain ongoing obligations of the Starbelly shareholders, and on Credit Suisse's advice, changes were made in the structure of the deal. Secondly, Mr. Florsheim tells us that Halo's board did not tell Credit Suisse it could rely on the projections. And that's probably an accurate statement in the sense that during the period of the due diligence, Credit Suisse's bankers were not in touch with the board. In fact, their exposure to the board of directors was extremely limited. On the other hand, what Mr. Douthat of Credit Suisse, First Boston, did testify to was that throughout this period he was in daily contact with Mr. Greg Kilray, the chief financial officer of the company, that he repeatedly inquired of Mr. Kilray after the January 3rd meeting whether the company was still satisfied with the projections that Credit Suisse had been asked to use, and that he was assured by the chief financial officer that the company was satisfied with those numbers and that those were the basis on which Credit Suisse should do its work, exactly as the contract contemplated. So, Your Honors, unless the Court has further questions, that's all I have. I think the record here is clear that the District Court's decision is correct and should be affirmed by this Court. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Wicks. Anything further, Mr. Florsheim?
A moment ago, Mr. Wicks said, Your Honor, that those were the that Mr. Kilray, the CFO, said that CSFB should rely upon those particular financial projections that came from Starbelly. That's not true. That's nowhere in the record, Your Honor. Mr. Kilray specifically testified that he did not tell CSFB what it should rely upon, and CSFB said it was not for the client to say what CSFB should rely upon. That was its job. CSFB had to determine what information was reasonable. Mr. Kilray expressed that management as a whole had a view that Starbelly could eventually get there. This technology would be ready. Ultimately, it was not, but it could be ready, and eventually Starbelly would be able to do $70 million in revenues, as was projecting for 2001. Mr. Kilray didn't say it would do that in 2001. It's critical, Your Honor, to focus on the particular methodology that CSFB was using here to value Starbelly. This was not a discounted cash flow valuation. If you had a discounted cash flow valuation and revenues are delayed, all that means is you're going to have additional discounting. In this case, CSFB was using an IPO method of valuation, which means all you look at is the revenues projected for a single year, in this case 2001. If Starbelly's revenues for 2001 aren't going to be $70 million because the technology won't begin until 6 months late, that means that in 2001, 6 months' worth of revenue are going to be shifted to the right. And based upon the evidence on this record, that means Starbelly will only have $36 million of revenues in 2001. Based on that information, simply running the numbers, it drops the valuation well beyond the price where it is fair. Now, Your Honor commented, Judge Easterbrook, that Halo's argument that we're suggesting that the language of the contract should be ignored. It certainly is not the argument that we are intending to convey. We believe that CSA...
The reason I said that is the contract says, plain as day, that First Boston may rely on the information and underlying projections provided to it by HALO. And you're saying that notwithstanding that language, they may not rely on it.
Your Honor, you're paraphrasing the contract, and you're paraphrasing in a way that I think creates an incorrect interpretation. What the contract says, and I have it in front of me, is that CSFB will rely solely upon such information supplied by the company, the target, and their respective representatives without assuming any responsibility for independent investigation or verification thereof. That's the language clearly that Judge Gettleman relied upon to say that CSFB was free to rely upon any information that was provided by HALO. The problem here is that HALO provided not just a box of information, it provided a whole wealth of information, and CSFB had to pick and choose from among that information what it should rely upon. The question is, did CSFB have to use reasonable judgment in selecting information, or could it simply cherry-pick whatever information it found that might possibly lead to supporting the $240 million valuation that Mr. Kelly had negotiated, $240 million price that Mr. Kelly had negotiated? We submit, Your Honor, that it could not. All financial advisors, particularly ones who are offering a fairness opinion, must use reasonable judgment. And in this case, there could be no reasonable judgment that these projections were reliable. Your Honor, we believe that Judge Gettleman's ruling below should be reversed. This is not a situation where Judge Gettleman made factual findings that we have any dispute with. He made legal findings about CSFB's duty that we think are plainly contrary to what the duties of any professional are, and plainly contrary to the evidence in the plainly contrary to the language of the contract. I see that my time is up. Unless Your Honors have any further questions, I'll say.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.
Thank you.